Hello, and thank you for registering for our event at White Bear Yacht Club, the Regatta. As a little preview for our big day out there in less than a week, I had a quick conversation with Jim Urbina, who is the consulting architect at White Bear, all about the golf course. So this is a 20-minute or so private podcast, I guess. It's not going to put it on the public fried egg feed. So this is a little gift to you guys. Thank you for coming. And this is all about White Bear, what it is today, where it's going, and some holes and different things to look out for while you play the golf course. We can't wait for the event. It's going to be a great day and really spectacular golf course. So here is Jim Urbina.
I miss a green, for example. I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
Fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
So, Jim, you've been the golf architect on record, consulting golf architect for White Bear Yacht Club for a number of years. Tell us about your history at working at White Bear and kind of how it started and when you saw it first and what you guys have been doing.
First of all, good morning, Andy. Thank you for having me on here and talking about one of my favorite places, White Bear Yacht Club. Unbelievable golf course. The topography of White Bear is for no better term, like a big ocean wave, several times, time and time again, riding the waves across White Bear Yacht Club. Unbelievable. But yes, love the place. First visited back in the late 90s, working under the banner of Renaissance Golf Design. I worked on the eighth hole, the eighth green. The green had been in trouble for some time agronomically, and they were looking to rebuild it. But at that time in the late 90s, we really didn't have a lot of information about White Bear. We had some old photos, but the historian, Dr. Mark Mammel, had really just begun to try to discover what White Bear was all about, who designed it, who was involved with it, finding old photos. So back in the 90s, we had really just begun to scratch the surface of what White Bear was all about. And thankfully, Dr. Mark Mammel had started to uncover the work. But our work started on the eighth green back in the late 90s. My first visit, I thought this place was off the charts as far as topography.
That's a good place to start, the eighth green. So this is probably one of the greens that the story behind it, as I understand it, it was in one place and a rogue member moved it to another place because he didn't like it. He thought it was unfair, correct? And then, at the green as it sits today is a Renaissance. You worked on it. So, it's effectively a hole that you built.
Yes. Yes. And we took examples from other parts of the golf course to emulate so that the green didn't stand out like a sore thumb. We tried to blend it in as best we could with its surrounding topography. It had quite a few trees surrounding it, very difficult to grow grass in that area. But yes, we took ideas from other parts of the golf course. I remember most notably the 15th green with some slight mounding around behind it. And we try to give it the look of White Bear Yacht Club, even though it was done in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. And what I think is really neat about it is that in a lot of the great routings do this. But one of the neat things, I think, is how you play and you're walking along four, which is obviously, a gargantuan hole with just incredible land. And you're getting close to the green. And then all of a sudden you look to the left. And you're like, oh, what's that hole over there?
Yeah. And I agree totally. That's been the job of the Greens Committee, the golf course superintendent, John Steiner, who's been there, geez, I think 50 years or so. Name a superintendent who's been on the golf course that long, yeah. Andy. It's unbelievable. But yes, they've been opening up a few corridors, getting sunlight, getting good air movement. And you're right, you get to look over to the eighth green as you come down four. But even more important, you get to look at number four coming down number eight as you walk from the tee to the green. And you think, God dang, I just played that hole. I don't remember the conditions that were abundant on the fourth hole. So it goes two ways, and it goes from four to eight, and then obviously from eight to four. The views, beautiful.
So with your working at White Bear, what have been the things that you guys have been working on, say, the last, 5 to 10 years there with your kind of getting stuff back?
Well, first and foremost, working with John Steiner, working with the Greens Committee, for the last 5-6 years, we've really been focusing on mowing lines, mowing presentation. Yeah, there is some question about whether it was Tom Varden, William Watson, Donald Ross. So the Donald Ross plan is prominently displayed, 1912, 1916. They have ground photos and an aerial of the layout. But I'm sure that based on some of the holes that I've seen, that we'll probably talk about, holes like 12, I've never seen a Donald Ross hole like that. So I have to believe that William Watson was as important part of the design and layout of White Bear Yacht Club as Donald Ross, and for sure as much as Tom Varden, even though Tom Varden had made suggestions to the golf course over his years working there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's obviously a big debate. And, one of the things is if it's a Watson, if it's a Ross, it's definitely a mutt, which sometimes the very best courses, if Pine Valley is a perfect example, are mutts, where you get like collaboration. While it wasn't all together through the years, little tweaks that maybe took weak points and made them better. So one of the big things that you did recently was the 14th hole. That's a brand new, basically redone hole. It was a restored hole, but you guys did the bunker work, and that's something new, and it really stands out. As it could be a glimpse of kind of where it's going in the next 5 to 10 years, right?
Agreed. So from the first time I visited back in the 90s to the several visits after that, the discussion on the 14th at White Bear Yacht Club was the dog leg, and drawings had shown, aerials had shown, ground photos had shown that the golf course was much different back then as it was in late 1990s, early 2000. The trees had encroached into the line of play, and it was a much different hole. And the debate for the longest time was, how can we make this hole more appealing instead of one-dimensional? And the key for me was that you want to make all of the golf holes at White Bear Yacht Club more than just one-dimensional, more than just hitting in the center of the fairway. And when the club was eager to re-look at and explore what we could do with the 14th hole, I simply went back to the old aerials that were afforded us, the old ground photos that were afforded us, and what people will be playing in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years is that vision that other people had. And we simply, under the guidance of myself, John Steiner, the Greens Committee, we simply brought it back to the way it used to be. I hope the golf course is more than just one dimensional. And as folklore said, Pete Dye once said, I wish I could build greens like this on the 14th. So we've brought it. We made it the green bigger, expanded it. We got the bunkers looking like they should based on old ground and aerial photos. And I think people will experience the new 14th hole. I hope they enjoy it.
What would you say outside of the topography, which I think that's the star of the show at White Bear? It is unbelievable. It's like you're on a roller coaster for the entire 18 holes, and there's all these twists and turns. What else, maybe a little bit more subtly, makes White Bear so unique?
I used to say that the green was going to be the great equalizer, of the club and the ball and the distance that the technology was taking us. But what I found out is that White Bear Yacht Club's topography is the great equalizer. It doesn't allow you to just wail away at your driver. You have to be careful where your ball is going to end up, because what people experience on the first hole, the second hole, the fourth hole, the fifth hole, it goes on and on, Andy, with the placement of the driver. You don't always get to just hit away 300, 270, 280 yards. It's the wild roller coaster that people are about to experience if they've never played it. And the members know you can't be here, you can't be there, your ball needs to be here, it needs to be there. You have to place the ball. And it's that topography that is the great equalizer of modern technology. You hit it, you're spot on.
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things about it is, like, you can hit driver and you can get up to where you have a lot of wedges. But one of the things that topography does is you're hitting from really awkward lies with wedges, which accentuates what those lies do. You know, if you have the ball above your feet and you've got a 60-yard wedged and you're hitting it with a 60 degree and the ball's above your feet, that thing is the hardest thing to judge how far left it's going to go, because the more loft makes it go more left, you know, and that's something I think, you know, the same thing with the ball below your feet, it's going to go more right. And then when you have longer irons, it's hard to judge. So you're just never hitting. It's the antithesis of driving range golf. If I was gonna, you know, it's a perfect example of you're not hitting shots on a driving range.
You are not hitting shots on the driving range. You're not on a piece of carpet. You're not on a plastic tee. You're far from that. You are all over the place. One foot's on the bed, one foot's on the floor. I mean, you just have to be cautious of where your ball ends up. And it's a thinking person's game at White Bear Yacht Club. You just can't. You have to prepare for the flyer lie. You have to prepare for the downhill slope with your nine iron. It's all over the place. That's the fun of it. They take your ticket on the first tee, and you come home on the 18th green with the last up and over blind shot on 18 coming down to the green. And you just want to get your ticket and repunch it and go back to the first tee. Roller coaster ride number two coming up.
Yeah. You mentioned the 12th hole already. That is a lot. I think five is a standout hole there. There's a dozen standout holes on the property. 14's a standout hole. But 12 is probably the most well-known hole out there. The most, you know, if somebody was going to point to, you know, one of the maybe the greatest holes in Minnesota, you know, 12 would be at the top of the list. What makes 12 such a great golf hole?
It's the second shot. The 12th hole, the second shot at White Bear Yacht Club, is a thinking person's game. It's unbelievable, Andy, as you know, when you tee off on the 12th hole, you have this unbelievable viewscape of the entire hole. You could see the green, you see the fairway, you could see the bunkers. It's all out there for you to take in. But when you land in the fairway, then all of those things that you saw on the tee go away. You don't get to see the green surface. You don't get to see the bunkers on the approach. You don't get to see any of that. And now the touch and feel of your wedge shot, your nine iron, your seven iron, whatever club you choose to select to play into it, has to be played in front of the green. You can't play towards the green because the green is going away from you 2% and 3%. And what I mean by that is that most greens are either flat or facing you. On the 12th hole at White Bear Yacht Club, the green slope, the degrees of slope is going away from you. So the smart golfer, the member golfer, plays in front of the green, lets the ball trickle on and find the pin location. And on top of that, the green is guarded by bunkers behind it and bunkers carved into the fairway in front of it. And so it has every possible option to play into the green, and every possible action to result of a poor shot played into it. It's an unbelievable hole. I hope someday in a new design I get to recreate it. It needs to be steadied, played over and over and over, and I don't think anybody will ever master it.
Yeah. So one of the cool things too with that green is, depending on where the pin is, you definitely have a preferred side of the fairway. As I understand it, I've only played it once. But you know, like, you don't want to be on the right side when the pin's up. It's a bad spot. Yeah. I was over there. I hit what I thought was a great shot. I was way right. I blasted it way right. You got all the room in the world as long as you don't get in the tall stuff. I was on the seventh fairway right, and coming in from over there, I thought I was in a good spot, and I couldn't keep the ball on the green. I hit a great shot, but you want to be on the left side if the pin's on the right side, and then the right side if the pin's on the left side, as I understand it. I obviously only playing it once. But that's another interesting dynamic of it, is how it changes. And if you're in the wrong spot, it's a near impossible shot.
And it is. And people would say, well, geez, that's, you know, I hate this word, Andy, the F word, unfair.
Oh, yeah.
I just absolutely hate it. They say, well, that's unfair. Well, I say, well, it's a thinking person's golf hole, and it never gets boring, and it constantly challenges you. And you're right. You have to play it right, or you have to play it left, depending on where the pin is. And I'm going to expand out the green a little bit more to the left, hopefully in the next couple of winters. There's a nice, beautiful bowl on the left that is not being used. The green used to be a little bit bigger. So we're going to even increase more interest in the green when we expand the green. But it's a thinking person's hole. It never let you down with the interest level of it. And you know, Andy, I know that you like the fourth hole and you like the second hole, but I like the 12th and the 16th hole. Mm-hmm. I think they both offer something that you won't see on any other golf course. In fact, all 18 holes at White Bear Yacht Club offer you something you'd see on not another golf course.
The holes 5, 12, 7 and 16 all occupy a general, just distinct part of the property. And that part that I would say is the best part ground of the property. And whoever it was that laid out the golf course made sure to maximize that part of the property where you have this wildly random undulating ground. And he, you know, the architect masterfully got long holes on that great ground. You know, there's a million places you can build great par threes. You know, if you have really world-class ground, you want to use that for those big holes. And yes. And he got, you know, those four holes, 16, 12, 7, and 5 are truly world-class golf holes. And it's all thanks to the wonderful ground there. Something that I really loved are some of the knobs in front of greens. One and seven are two holes, and that's talking about seven was got me thinking about that. Talk about the knobs and some of the distinct features that aren't necessarily on the greens, but are in the green surrounds at White Bear.
Well, interesting you bring up holes number 7 and 16. You're absolutely correct. The stretch from 5, 7, 12, and 16 is unbelievable. And we don't care, Andy, we don't care. Watson, Varden, Ross, we don't care. Absolutely beautiful holes. But what I did back in the early 2000s is I went back and restored hole number 7 green sight and restored hole number 16 green sight. Mm-hmm. Somebody else had decided in the modern time that you needed to add bunkers to both of those holes, which was out of character with what the original design was intended to be. And so I removed the bunkers and I reimagined and represented the mowing presentation on hole 7 and 16. These wonderful rolls and bumps became an important part of the greenscapes around 7 and 16. And that proved to me early on in the evolution of White Bear Yacht Club that you didn't need to have bunkers to have entertainment. And you are absolutely correct. The mounds and rolls on number 7, the mounds and rolls on number 16 are void of bunkers. And they have all the essence of any shot that you'd ever want to play. Bunker would be the last thing. It would be the most boring thing mm-hmm. in those two holes. And by recapturing the presentation of the mowing on 7 and 16, I did that, several years ago. The members love it. it has recaptured and put in the forefront the topography that is White Bear Yacht Club. Do not mask it with bunkers. Do not mask it with trees. Let it be in its all full presentation. You don't. Who needs a bunker when you got those rolls on 7 and 16? Absolutely correct.
Yeah, the 16th green is wonderful. That is a tremendous green with that ridge that runs through it. So it's going to be a fun one. One of my favorite things, I tell people half the reason we do these events is just so I get to be a course. I get to be a course setup guy, you know, a dozen times a year. And one of my favorite activities is going out and setting pins. And 16 is going to be one of the most fun places to set up two pins.
Well, I'm sorry that I can't attend your event, but we are getting ready to expand the 16th green possibly this fall or in the next couple of years. The green actually used to go up right, back right on that hole, and it got lost because of the encroachment of the cart path. So we're going to realign the cart path, expand the green out to that knob, and then mow that little bowl there right where the cart path is now. We're going to mow that in fairway. So the entertainment is really going to go up. Andy, you'll be all over it. You'll want to sit there and watch the pins get set up and watch people fall off if they're not well-executed shots.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's like, I think that's one of the things I take away from White Bear is, like, you know, the golf course as it is today is, it's one of the very best golf courses in the Midwest, one of the best golf courses in the country, definitely one of the most fun golf courses in the country. But you see what it is today versus maybe what it could be in 15 years with, yes, you know, with fairway expansions and continued green expansions. And it's just the stuff on the margins, but yes, the place has the ability to become extraordinary over the next 10 to 15 years as they continue to do, you know, under your guidance, the expansions and that you guys have been doing.
It's the little things, Andy. People think it's fountains and waterfalls, and we know it's not fountains and waterfalls. We know it's the little things around the greens. It's removing the bunkers. It's the mowing presentation. And you're absolutely correct. White Bear Yacht Club is just going to get better and better, and it doesn't need any fountains and waterfalls.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We've talked about the land. We've talked about some of the standout holes. These people playing the event are going to get to go take two spins around White Bear. What are two really small things or a couple small things that they can notice, whether it be transitions, you know, deep in the weeds stuff that people, everybody always asks me, hey, what should I look out for? What are some things that I should notice? What are a couple things as somebody that spent, you know, hours and hours on property that they can notice and take in that might not be apparent as the standout holes out there?
Well, for sure, the first hole that comes to mind, Andy, for me is the par three. First par three you encounter, hole number three. A short one-shotter, the teeing ground, the small location of the green that you're falling off on all sides, and you just have to really take your time to think about making that good one-shot swing, because you're falling off down 10 to 12 feet on the left side. You could fall off on the back side. You could fall off, land in the cavernous bunker to the right that you don't even see. And maybe that's good that you don't see the bunker because it just makes it more imposing. But it's really the first par three hole, number three, that will capture your attention and think to yourself, man, this place requires an exacting shot. Unbelievable hole. There are several other parts of it, but it's that first par three will catch your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really cool par three. It's super fun. Hey, Jim, I wish you could be at the event maybe next year, you know, but we appreciate your time. And I think you've given some people some valuable insight to work off of as they take on maybe the most fun golf course in the Midwest.
Absolutely the most fun golf course. I wish I could have joined you. I'm telling you what, watching people see it for the first time, watching them play the golf course, watching the reaction when you get back to the 18th hole, unbelievable place. I wish all of them all the best. I just love the place. I hope they love it as much as I do.